Well, hello and welcome to this live virtual forum. We've just got a couple of folks on right now. We're dialing out to thousands in Orange County. We'll be getting started with this live telephone town hall meeting in just a moment. Thanks to those of you who dialed in early on our inbound participant line. If you're on early and you've got a question in mind for the Q&A portion of our forum, feel free to press zero right now. Speak to an operator, give them your question, and get in line with it. You'll have the opportunity to ask it live. But if you're not comfortable asking it live, you can also let your operator know that you'd prefer to have the moderator read your question. I'm happy to do that for you. So again, if you have a question in mind already, press zero, submit it to an operator, and then you can let them know if you want me to read it. Otherwise, we're happy to take your question in live and hear from you live on the line today. For those of you just joining us, hello. Welcome to our live telephone town hall meeting this evening. This free phone forum is hosted by the Orange County Transportation Authority. It will be your opportunity to learn more about OCTA's South Orange County Multimodal Transportation Study. We want to get your feedback on future improvements to local streets, transit, freeways, and bikeways in South Orange County. In just a moment, we'll hear from the Orange County Transportation Authority and get an update on the South Orange County Multimodal Transportation Study. As you listen, be thinking about questions or comments you would like to share in this live forum. And as soon as you have a question or comment to submit, please do press zero on your phone. Speak to an operator, give them your question. You'll have the opportunity to ask your questions live in this forum. If you're not comfortable asking it live, you should still press zero to submit your question to an operator. Then you can let your operator know if you prefer to have the moderator read your questions instead. Happy to do that for you. Whatever's more comfortable for you is good for us. So again, zero to submit a question for Q&A at any time. You can also sign up for email updates from OCTA by pressing 7 on your phone. We'll gather your email address and be sure to keep you updated electronically in the future. So remember, you can press 0 to submit questions and comments for this live forum. We're focusing our forum tonight on the South Orange County Multimodal Transportation Study. So as you're listening, be thinking about questions you'd like to submit for Q&A. We'll get to Q&A in just a few minutes here, and that'll drive a lot of our forum. So if you have any questions or comments that you'd like to make live in our forum, remember, it's just a press 0. That'll get you to an operator. They'll take down some notes, put you in line to ask your question live. If you're not comfortable asking it live, make sure you let them know, and I'm happy to read it over the air instead. We're just about to get started. We're dialing out to thousands of your neighbors around Orange County right now. I'm just going to repeat some basic information on our call real quickly here, and then we'll go ahead and get started. Again, welcome, folks. This is an OCTA South Orange County Multimodal Transportation Study Teletown Hall. We're here to discuss that South Orange County Multimodal Transportation Study. We're going to give you some information, get you updated so that you have all the knowledge you need for our Q&A, and then as soon as you have a question, press zero. Give it to an operator, and then we'll put you in line to ask your question live. One more note for those of you who just joined us, if you'd like to get email updates from OCTA as we move through this process, you can press 7. Give that email address to an operator, and we'll gladly keep you updated electronically moving forward. So let's go ahead and get started. Remember, you can press 0 to submit questions or comments for our live forum. It's my pleasure to kick off this live forum by turning it over to Orange County Transportation Authority Principal Community Relations Specialist, Marissa Espino. Please go ahead, Marissa.
Thank you, Ian. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to our telephone town hall hosted by the Orange County Transportation Authority. Thank you for taking the time to join us and learn about the South Orange County Multimodal Transportation Study. Over the next 25 years, the population in South Orange County is anticipated to grow by 16%, and employment is expected to grow by 18%. This growth will result in more people traveling throughout South Orange County and more time lost in traffic if we don't plan ahead. Therefore, OCTA is conducting a strategic transportation study that will consider transportation needs of residents, commuters, and visitors to the area. We want to hear from you, answer your questions, and have a conversation about what travel should look like in South Orange County's future. Our presentation will be brief so that we can hear from you. I'd like to introduce OCTA Principal Transportation Analyst, Warren Whitaker, who is the project manager for the South County Study. It's my pleasure to introduce Warren.
Thank you, Marissa. We will be getting to your questions shortly. As a reminder, hit 0 on your phone to get yourself on standby for a question. We really want to hear from you, so don't hesitate to ask a question or share your thoughts. Now, I'd like to give you a quick overview of the South Orange County Multimodal Transportation Study. The objective of the study is to develop a consensus-based, multimodal transportation system vision for South Orange County. We are considering the transportation needs of residents, commuters, and visitors alike. Through collaboration with stakeholders and input from the public, the study will identify a broad range of improvement recommendations to all modes of transportation, including streets, bus and rail transit, highways, and bikeways. The study will address the needs of how people move and connect in South Orange County through the year 2045 and beyond. Upon completion and approval of the strategic transportation vision by the OCTA board, study recommendations can proceed through the subsequent project level design, engineering, and environmental analysis on its path towards implementation. The study area is generally south of State Route 55 to the San Diego County line and spans from the coast to the foothills. The area covers the key employment, entertainment, and recreational activity centers and travel patterns in South Orange County. I also want to highlight that a key underlying study goal is to enhance equity and quality of life. We've identified four key transportation needs in the study area. The need to make public transit, bicycling, and walking more convenient and accessible. The need to decrease the overall number of vehicle trips made each day, and especially during peak commute periods. The need to protect the environment and preserve our transportation infrastructure investments. And the need to adapt to new transportation technologies and services. We are currently evaluating a range of transportation strategies to address these needs. These include investing in rail and transit to improve service frequency and reliability, investing in road and freeway operational improvements to minimize delays and improve travel flow, enhancing walking and biking and providing more opportunities for non-automobile travel, investing in programs aimed at encouraging changes in travel habits and reducing overall travel demand, like supporting ride sharing, using roadway pricing like the 91 express lanes to manage traffic, and investing in new technologies and improvements focused on protecting the environment and adapting to changing travel behaviors, like supporting teleworking over the long run. Your participation and input is essential to achieving a thoughtful, needs-based, comprehensive, multimodal approach that can effectively address traffic congestion and provide more travel choices for residents, commuters, and visitors while enhancing equity and quality of life.
Thank you so much, Warren. Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you, Warren. Thank you very much for providing us that update and getting everybody up to speed. We are about to start Q&A with our first question. And before we do that, I want to remind everybody how we do that. So if you have a question for Q&A that you'd like to submit, and many of you already have, so hang tight with those of you who have already submitted a question, you can press zero, submit a question to an operator. You can let them know if you want me to read your question over the air. Otherwise, we're happy to bring you live. You can also press 7 if you want to give us email updates. If you want to get email updates from OCTA, you can press 7. Give us your email. We'll keep you updated moving forward. So 0 for questions, 7 if you'd like to get email updates. And we've got our first question, and this is one that we got in advance of the call, but it's a really good conversation starter. And past that, we're going to get Anthony, Justin, and Joe in line next to take their questions live. So let me go ahead and ask this one as a conversation starter. The question is, has the pandemic changed what kind of improvements you are considering in the study? Who'd like to take that question on for us?
This is Warren, and I'll go ahead and take that question. It hasn't really changed the breadth of improvement types we are considering, but it's definitely impacted our thinking on how significant of a role different kinds of investments might play in the future. Since we're planning out for the transportation needs in South County over the long run, that is, we're looking out to the year 2045 and beyond, we're assuming that we'll have achieved a new normal by then, which may not be identical to the normal that we knew prior to the pandemic. For many of us, the pandemic forced us to work from home rather than an office. Likewise, we did a lot more shopping online, We didn't take trips to the gym. Those trips were replaced by neighborhood walks and so forth. As we're beginning to see now, many workplaces are thinking about maintaining at least a partial work from home approach, even as workers return to the office. While it is unlikely that we'll see anything like the work from home share that we did during the peak of the pandemic, it's also unlikely that we'll see see the same levels that we saw before the pandemic. We'll definitely see continued growth. So I think those are the kind of things that we're seeing as a result of the pandemic. Thanks.
Appreciate you, Warren. Thank you so much. And thank you again to those of you who are submitting questions for our Q&A. A reminder, you can press 0 to submit a question for Q&A. You can press 7 to give us your email for updates. And we're going to run a polling question in just a moment here, so hang tight for that. We'll go ahead and run that poll. You'll all be able to vote on it using your phone. But first, let's go ahead and get this question in here from Anthony in San Clemente. Anthony, thanks for being with us today. What's your question?
Hi, good evening. I have a question about the implementation of smart traffic signals. Right now, traffic signals basically can only tell when a vehicle is waiting at the intersection through a coil in the coil in the road. But what we really need is predictive traffic signals that have either IR or laser looking up the street to see when traffic is coming in each direction, and therefore can predict when a vehicle or group of vehicles is going to reach the intersection and can change, and the lights can change appropriately. Those. How many times are we sitting at a traffic light waiting, and there's absolutely nothing in sight? Especially on traffic signals where they work in a fixed sequence. Many of them, of course, also do recognize when traffic is actually waiting to cross. But on the longer term, if I may elaborate a little bit, I believe that in the future we will see traffic controlled by AI, basically, not individually, but controlled through 5G, and that these will be controlled by either a city or regional system whereby waves of cars will travel seamlessly through a city without ever having to stop at traffic lights at all. The speed will be controlled in a way that permits these waves of vehicles to cross intersections without interference, much as lines of ballet dancers do when crossing each other.
And that's a great question there, Anthony, and it's a very, very innovative idea. Let's see, who can take this question on and some of the ideas that Anthony in San Clemente has brought to our forum?
Those are great ideas, Anthony. This is Warren. Yes, absolutely. OCT already has a strong program that's based on synchronizing signals along corridors. And you also highlighted on the importance of addressing emerging technology and being ready for the future, and that's very much a part of this study. So I thank you for your question.
Appreciate that. Thank you so much, Warren, and thank you again. Appreciate you bringing that comment and those thoughts into our forum, Anthony. And I'll remind folks that we're not just looking for questions tonight. Any ideas like Anthony's that you have, we're happy to take those tonight. So if you have any comments or ideas that you'd like to share in our forum, remember you can press 0. Submit those to an operator. You'll be able to get in line to share them live, or you can always let your operator know if you'd like me to just read your comments or questions over the air instead. Happy to do that. Let's go ahead and get to our next question. Lots of great questions in line here. Justin in San Diego, thanks for joining us. You are live on the line. Go ahead, please, sir.
So my question is, will there be a freeway BRT be more? I think you guys should improve on the bus services down in South OC because, like, the frequency, like, maybe at least 20, 30 minutes the most, if that costs too much money for you guys, because I know the services are much more frequent by, Anaheim and by Knott's Berry Farm and all that. And also my other question is, will there be a freeway BRT that goes from Laguna MetroLink station to Fulton Park and Ride in the future along the I-5 freeway?
Great question. Thank you, Justin.
Yeah, thanks, Justin. Yeah, this is Warren again. I probably won't keep on repeating that I'm Warren since there's only two of us males answering so far, so hopefully you recognize my voice. Yes, I'm going to start with your last question first on the freeway BRT. Yes, OCTA is looking at a freeway BRT that from the Laguna Niguel Mission Viejo Metrolink station all the way up to the Fullerton Park and Ride that's up around the 91 and the 5 right up there. So, yes, we're absolutely looking at that, and that's one of the things being considered in the study. We're also looking at bus connectivity, but also looking at options. We have a service that's a pilot project right now called OC Flex, which is an on-demand transit service that is a little bit different than your typical service, partly to reflect that, like you said, we have less frequent service in South County and trying to figure out the right solutions for that. But thank you for your question.
Yeah, absolutely. Great question. Great answer. Thank you so much. Let's go ahead and get our next one up in just a moment, actually. Let's go ahead and run a polling question here. We've got our full audience on the line. We've had a few folks who probably joined us from the voicemails we've left. So welcome to this South Orange Multimodal Teletown Hall. We appreciate you joining us. We're going to go ahead and run our first polling question, then we'll get right back to Q&A. Our first question is this, and I'll read through each option twice, so feel free to wait to vote until I get through the second time. Which of these statements do you agree with most? Press 1 if you'd like the ability to walk and bike more. Press 2 if you'd like to see more bus and rail service improvements. Press 3 if you can't imagine giving up the comfort of your car. Press 4 if you're supportive of teleworking and online shopping. So again, which of these questions do you agree with most? Press 1 if you'd like the ability to bike and walk more. Press 2 if you'd like to see more bus and rail service improvements. Press 3 if you can't imagine giving up the comfort of your car. And press 4 if you're supportive of teleworking and online shopping. Appreciate you voting in that poll. Go ahead and vote now. We really appreciate that feedback, and we'll have one more polling question for you in a few minutes here. But while you're voting on that, let's go ahead and get Joe's question up from Orange County next. We'll have the results of that poll in just a minute. Joe, sounds like you got a concern to share with us. Go ahead, please. Joe, do we have you there on the line? Joe might have himself on mute here. So, Warren, Joe's saying he has a concern that Orange County doesn't have enough transportation. Is that something you're addressing in this study?
Yeah, and in particular, we're looking at expanding the number of travel options. So I think we're spot on to what he's addressing. And he may be looking particularly at transit. And you know, that's a big part of this is providing a lot more options than this driving. So thank you.
Appreciate it. Thanks for that answer. And thank you, Joe, for reaching out. Let's go to Paul live next. We've got Paul coming from Santa Ana. Hey, Paul, welcome to the call. What's your question for us?
All of the work that they're doing on the 405 freeway from the 55 to Valley View, is this to set up a fast-track toll road like the 91 to Riverside? Is that the...
Yes, so that project, which is outside this study area, will actually add a normal, we call it general purpose, but it's a normal travel lane, as well as adding an additional lane right next to the existing carpool lane. And both of those lanes will operate as an express lane, somewhat similar to the 91 express lane. So thanks.
Appreciate you again, Warren. Thank you so much. Thanks for our last question from Paul. Let's see who we've got next here. We've got Charles in line. Charles has asked me to read this question. Happy to do that for you, Charles. He's in San Juan Capistrano asking, I occasionally take the train to San Diego. They have a flex service there that is much more extensive than the one we have here in South Orange County. I'm an access passenger. I would like to see the flex schedule extended from Mission Viejo into my downtown. It would save us money here. That's from Charles, if you want to take that on, Warren.
Yeah, I agree. And that's, I think I indicated that in one of the previous answers at that OC Flex service and looking at opportunities to expand it out. And, you know, that kind of hit on a big point of the opportunities to even potentially save money with that type of service. So yeah, thankful for that question.
All right. Thank you very much again, Warren, for the answer. Let's see. We're going to go to the results of our poll. Chen and Santa Ana, hang tight. We'll have your question up next here. But first, we've got the results of our polling question. So we asked which statement you agreed with most. 42% of you said you'd like to see more bus and rail service improvements. 28% of you said you can't imagine giving up the comfort of your car. And looks like 16% said you're supportive of teleworking and online shopping. And 14% of you said the statement you agreed with most is you like the ability to bike and walk more. Me too. So don't feel like you're left out there, 14%. That's definitely me. Thanks for voting in that poll. We'll have another one in a minute here. Really do appreciate your feedback in those polls. And we've got Chen in Santa Ana live next. Chen, thanks for joining us. What's your question?
My question is that there are no walkways, sidewalk in our area, and nowadays people take more walks to, you know, as they realize the importance of taking walks to improve your health. And we don't have enough we don't have, in many areas, we don't even have sidewalk. We don't have space for sidewalk, so we walk on the side of the lane. Which, you know, will endanger our life. So I hope this is an area that we can improve very rapidly because since pandemic, there are 5 or 6 more times more people taking a daily walk. And so, yeah, this is very important. And you know, every street has a right of way, which means on the each side there is 1 or 2 meters belong to the belong to the roads, and we should use that to put in sidewalks. Our life will not be endangered while we are trying to improve our health.
Got it, Chen. Thank you. Great question. So concerns with people walking where there's no sidewalks. Can you take that on for us, Warren?
Yeah, that's a great point, and you know, that's definitely one of the things we've already highlighted as a key important thing is addressing the gaps in both sidewalks and the pandemic, and how we've changed our neighborhood travel has also shown some of the needs in bicycling, and safety is always a key priority for us. So thanks for sharing your thoughts.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you, Chen. Appreciate you being a part of our forum. We're going to get another question up here in just a moment, but I wanted to remind folks that if you want to sign up for email updates from OCTA as we go through this process, you can press 7 on your phone. To speak to an operator, give them your email address. We'll be sure to keep you updated moving forward. We've got Al coming to us next from Dana Point. Hey, Al, thanks for being on the line. What's your question?
Oh, the other question is, when you guys plan for these changes in the roads or rail or all those plans, is that also includes a culture change, how to change the mentality of the people to adopt the public transportation rather than their own cars? Do you consider those things in the planning or not, or in the research?
Thank you for that question. This is Warren again. Yes, you know, absolutely. You know, there's the importance of figuring out ways to incentivize shifts in travel behavior, such as using transit, ride sharing, and walking and biking. And so it's, you know, that is definitely part of the study is how do we encourage not only investing in those alternatives to driving and providing more choices, but also reminding people that those are options. And how do you kind of incentivize those, especially when we have limited ability to add more highways? So thanks.
Appreciate you, Warren. Thank you so much. Thank you for an excellent question, Al. Let's go ahead and get to Brian live next in Tustin. Brian, what's your question for us?
Hi. Thank you for having this forum. I appreciate that. My question is, what specific steps do you envision need to be taken to incorporate bicycles into the transportation system?
Thank you. Thank you, Brian. It's there's definitely ways of rethinking about how we use our road space. And you know, during the pandemic, we've seen a lot of communities actually close down roads only for bicyclists and pedestrians. And while we don't think that that's really viable on a 24/7 basis, that kind of idea about providing more space for walking and biking is an intriguing idea. And so we've done that with bike lanes that share a small portion, but there may be other ways that we could improve safety for cyclists. And there's barriers. There's what they call a class 4 bike lane or a protected bike lane, that have definitely been in works, and communities are looking in that. So those are some of the things that we're looking at under the study. So thanks for that question.
Yep, appreciate the question. Thanks again, Warren, for the answer. We're going to go to our next one live from Bobby in Irvine. Hey, Bobby, it looks like you got a couple of questions and comments for us. Go ahead.
Yes, the first one was, instead of having just a stop sign light, red light, if you will, on an arrow, where we could actually incorporate also the yellow caution light with the green, so that when we're sitting at a light trying to make a left-hand turn and there's no oncoming traffic at all, we could consistently make left-hand turns, be safe, and allow some of the streets to be freed up. That was number one, just adding in the yellow caution light. We know people make illegal turns, so let's help them be a little bit more legal and safe. And the other thing is, I also know that there are many cities that have excess in their budget, and I really would like to encourage the cities to participate in paying down the overall cost of construction for our toll roads. If our toll roads were opened up, much of the freeway traffic would already be eliminated without having to construct more freeways.
Great. Thanks, Bobby. Those are great comments and observations. There are cities in Orange County that actually have the traffic signal that you indicated. Thanks for the comment on the toll roads. So appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much, Bobby. Appreciate your participation tonight. And reminder, folks, if you do have a question to submit, you can press 0 to give that to an operator. We've got our first question coming from our Spanish simulcast broadcast. We're broadcasting this in Spanish as well. And Edith is listening from Santa Ana. Says, I am 78. I need transportation to see my doctor, and current services are very limited and strict. This is worrisome because people like me and other senior friends cannot use services for doctor's visits. I live near Bristol and MacArthur, and I take 55, but I need transfers, and waiting time is very long. Also, sometimes drivers are rude, and sometimes they see us running and close the door, even as we are approaching as seniors. So, Edith, in our Spanish simulcast, thank you for bringing your concerns to us in this forum. I'll turn it over to Warren here.
Yeah, I surely hope they're not OCTA drivers that are closing the door on you. that's definitely a concern with those transfers. You know, that's one of the often we call those transit penalties, and that's definitely one of the considerations in the studies is how you make transit more competitive with driving. So those are great points, and we're also looking at opportunities to re-envision transit and even partnerships that kind of provide parallel services. So thank you for your comment.
Yeah, appreciate you. Thank you so much. And thanks to those of you who are listening in Spanish tonight. We appreciate you. Let's go back to our audience listening here in our main broadcast. And it looks like Carolyn in Costa Mesa has asked me to read this one. She says, is there any way you can designate a lane for 18-wheelers so they don't cause danger to other drivers? That one's from Carolyn in Costa Mesa.
That's an interesting question. It may be a little bit more of a question for Caltrans, given the volume of trucks that we have on our roads versus all the rest of the traffic on there, if we gave up the space for only trucks, it put a lot of pressure on the rest of us with that less of lanes. So given our truck volume, probably not likely to happen, but clearly safety with trucks is an important issue. And you know, like I said before, you know, safety is a key priority for us. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you again. Appreciate you, Carolyn. Thanks for being a part of our forum. And a quick reminder, we're at the halfway mark of our hour-long forum. We got 30 more minutes left, so if you'd like to give us your email address to get email updates, feel free to press 7 here. And we'll get our next one coming to us from Lisa in Tustin, Laguna Wood. Thank you, Lisa, for being on the line. Go ahead with your questions or comments.
Hi, can you hear me okay? Hello?
You're coming through a little bit garbled.
Oh, is this better?
That's better.
Yes, hearing you well.
Sorry about that. Yes, so first off, I have a comment. I just want to say that I'm opposed of exclusionary transit investments, for example, toll roads. I just really think that poses, and we've seen it to be proven, to have some real equity issues for people on the lower income scale and people that don't have cars. And I just don't think it's a great incentive to change, you know, culture, as another commenter mentioned about, you know, we should really be incentivizing drivers to change and adopt transit as opposed to, you know, giving them opportunity to pay their way for convenience. So that's my comment. And then I want to ask, what is Okta doing or planning to do to work directly with cities in their housing element plan to ensure that we're really maximizing, you know, all opportunities, because we know that, you know, the denser that we have housing near transit hubs, you know, the better it is for everybody. You know, it's better for the commuters, and it's better for our roadways, because it clears up a lot of those unnecessary cars. And then related to that, specifically, if you can speak to parking as well. So I know there's a lot of, you know, parking requirements for cities in their development permitting. And if we could limit those or reduce the parking requirements, that could also be an incentive for more density and more transit use. So I'd love to, you know what you're doing in terms of working on that with cities. And also, if you could please speak to steps you're taking to really address current and potential equity issues in regards to, you know, economic disparities and racial disparities, so that we can really expand, you know, easy, affordable transportation for, you know, for the more marginalized groups. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. You got quite a few questions in there in your one question. So thank you for your comment, number one. number two, you know, absolutely we couldn't do this study, we couldn't do anything that OCTA does without active and ongoing and very collaborative work with the cities. So, you know, whether it's, you know, planning for transit, for active transportation, for biking and walking, ride sharing activities. You know, we have to do it in coordination with the cities. Otherwise, you know, we can't make our current system work. And it'd be even harder to figure out how to accommodate the additional housing that we need that the cities have to build based on the latest requirements from the state. So it's definitely going to be an ongoing partnership, and that will definitely be ongoing. In terms of the racial equity, you know, it's really about making sure that we have those voices in early and consistently through the planning process. But it's also making sure that we have good performance measures to be able to take snapshots throughout studies and as we complete projects and seeing, you know, how have we been doing, and in part figuring out those performance measures by engaging with those communities that historically have been excluded from the process and making sure we understand what their priorities are. So thank you very much.
Yeah, I really appreciate you, Lisa. Thanks for bringing such thoughtful comments into our forum. We do appreciate it. And great questions and comments from everybody tonight. Thank you, everybody who's participating in this live forum. We do appreciate you. It's your live questions and comments that really drive these forums. So thanks again. We've got John up next in Tustin. Hey, John, welcome. Go ahead with your question, please.
Hello. Yeah, two quick questions. The first one, last meeting I talked about maybe having a local shuttle in Tustin, and they said they're going to reach out to the city. So I'm just kind of seeing if there's updates on that. And then if not, the second question, the 71 bus line is a pretty high traveled line. It goes through multiple cities. Some bus and train lines in other countries have like a regular line, a rapid line. Could there be like an airport line, especially with the Olympics coming up? I mean, it just seems like there's a lot of lost revenue on this line because you can have the same bus. You just change Maine and Bristol, that part of the line, and you can have a bus basically go to the airport, Tustin Metrolink, and then essentially motivate people to maybe use Metrolink a lot more. And then you can even cover the bus if it's hard for people to tell, cover it in like a John Wayne Airport Metrolink wrap, so then people can visually see the difference between that and a regular line, and then time it up with the Metrolink or other bus services.
Great. Thanks, John. Thanks for those comments and questions. Yeah, we, as I indicated before, on some of the OC Flex and similar type of transit service that operate more like a shuttle rather than the typical OCTA bus that you see out there, we definitely have included that in the study and looking at how we might have those in the plan. The other is, you know, we regularly do that kind of service where we have the local and higher level of service. You may be familiar with the Bravo lines that operate on a number of corridors. OCTA is embarking on a bus restructuring study that kind of looks at our near-term path on how we move forward on transit to best serve the public. So, you know, that's definitely going to be an opportunity to look at those routes. That there's opportunities to provide better service along. So thanks for your comment.
Yep, appreciate it. Thank you, John. Thank you again, Warren. And folks, we're going to run our second survey question here. So as I did last time, we'll go ahead and read each of your options twice. And so you might want to wait until we get through the second time so that you know all of your options. We're asking you this time, which of the following is most important for addressing the transportation challenges in South Orange County? So you're going to pick the one of these that's the most important to you for addressing the transportation challenges in South Orange County. You can press 1 if you think it's making transit, bicycling, and walking more convenient and accessible. You can press 2 if it's decreasing the overall number of car trips made each day. You can press 3 if it's protecting the environment from pollution and preserving our transportation infrastructure so it's reliable for generations. And you can press 4 if it's adapting new transportation technologies and services like electric vehicle charging, infrastructure, and e-bikes. So I know there was a lot there. I'll go through those options one more time for you. Again, we're wondering which of the following is most important for addressing the transportation challenges in South Orange County. Press 1 if it's making transit, bicycling, and walking more convenient and accessible. Press 2 if it's decreasing the overall number of car trips made each day. Press 3 if it's protecting the environment from pollution and preserving our transportation infrastructure so it's reliable for generations. And press 4 if it's adapting to new transportation technologies and services like electric vehicle charging, infrastructure, and e-bikes. Thank you again. We'll reveal the results of that poll in just a moment here. Again, we really appreciate your feedback in those polls. But next up, we've got Jonathan, who's been waiting from Alyssa Viejo. Jonathan, welcome to the call. Looks like you got a couple of comments for us. Go ahead, please.
Hi, thanks. So I live in Aliso, but also work in San Clemente, and I have noticed the kind of organic growth and popularity of the trolley systems in some of the coastal cities. I'm curious if there's other things in the works where we expand the use of transportation options through improving the experience of transportation. I think that's been maybe a hindrance in the past. And then second, I'd be curious if there's any talks at OCTA about looking at networks of NEVs as a potential local mobility option. So those two things I'd be interested in learning more about.
Yeah, I'll start with your last one. So the neighborhood electric vehicle, I think, is what you're referring to by the NEV. And I think that kind of goes in line somewhat similar, although it is a little bit different, but with the kind of expansion of electric vehicles or electric bikes, that we've been seeing during the pandemic. And yes, definitely, you know, one of the key things that we're looking at is how we integrate in emerging technology and especially if it provides big returns on the investment for the public so that there's better travel choices. So we're definitely looking at that. We're definitely seeing the trolleys come back. They were kind of sidelined during the pandemic, but they're back up in service and you know, very popular. And we want to see, you know, how we can continue those going and even looking for opportunities for expansion. So thanks for your comments and questions, sir.
Yep, appreciate you, Jonathan. Thank you so much. Thank you again, Warren. We've got our next one coming to us from Nichelle. Let me go ahead and bring her up here. Then we'll have the results of our poll after that. Nichelle in San Clemente, thank you so much for waiting. You're live. Go ahead.
Hi. First of all, just thank you, OCTA. I've been so impressed with your professionalism, and you guys just do a great job. I guess my comment is, there's probably three of them, but it seems that turning the carpool lanes into managed lanes or express lanes or whatever you want to call them, it would be a lot more cost-effective if they were just opened up for everyone during the commuting times. That's just one idea, but I am concerned about, you know, mobility just for the wealthy. I believe that the toll roads are, you know, could handle a lot more capacity and actually get our freeways moving if they did, in fact, pay down those bonds. And then lastly, being in San Clemente, if you want to go to work on the train in the morning, there's only one time that you have a nonstop train where you don't have to transfer in Laguna Niguel. So maybe like one or two more train time options would be amazing so you could get the kids to school and still, you know, take the train up to mid-Orange County. So thank you all for everything, and they were more comments than questions.
Great, and thanks for those comments. Definitely hear you on the toll roads. You know, we're looking for opportunities to improve the rail service, but and depending on which station you're getting on, and well, in San Clemente, obviously you have the access for Amtrak. Laguna Niguel, not so much. So you're definitely relying on Metrolink there. There's also the one line that will get you the 91 line and the 91 line that will help you for bus service there. I know it's not quite as attractive as sometimes as taking Metrolink, but that's also another option. So thanks.
Yep, appreciate it, Warren. Thank you. Thank you, Nichelle, for your kind words and for your participation. Really appreciate it. We're going to get to our next question from Lee in just a moment here, but we've got our results from our survey up next. We asked you which of the following is most important for addressing the transportation challenges in South Orange County. And it looks like the top vote getter with 33% was adapting to new transportation technologies and services like electric vehicle, charging infrastructure, and e-bikes. We had 31% of you who said it was making transit, bicycling, and walking more convenient and accessible. 22% of you said it was protecting the environment from pollution and preserving our transportation infrastructure so it's reliable for generations to come. And 14% of you said it was decreasing the overall number of car trips made each day. So we really appreciate those votes, and thank you for participating in that. And again, for those of you who submitted questions, we'll get through as many as we can in the time we have left. I will make a last call here for email updates, though. If you'd like to be kept updated via email by OCTA, go ahead and press 7 right here. We won't be able to collect your email after the call ends in 15 minutes. So if you want to get those email updates, please do press 7 now. Speak to an operator and let us know what your email address is. We'll be sure to keep you updated moving forward. We've got Leah in Laguna Hills who's asked me to read this one next. She says, what kind of accommodations are there being made for the disabled community? Warren, I'll turn that over to you from Leah in Laguna Hills.
Yeah, I appreciate that question. And you know, that's really important as we're looking out to the year 2045 and beyond. Because not only are we needing to address that today, but looking out 25 years, you know, a lot more of us are going to be in our older years, and mobility will be a challenge. So that's, you know, that's one of the key things that we're looking at. And so, like our one of our previous callers talked about, you know, gaps in the sidewalk network. You know, being able to safely walk to places is a real important priority, and perhaps the combination of the shuttle service that we've talked about tonight, and maybe even the neighborhood electric vehicles might be some of the good options there. So thanks for that question.
Yeah, appreciate it, Leah. And we'll go right to Renee in Newport Beach for our next one. Hey, Renee, thanks for joining us. You're live. Go ahead.
Thank you. Yes, I was just going to say I live very close to the 73 toll road, but again, you know, people, I know other speakers or other participants have mentioned that the cost of the toll fees are so high, I rarely use it. And I notice it's not that busy, so it would be really nice, and I don't know if there's a breaking point where they can reduce the fees for that toll road. And then I just had another comment having to do with bus routing. My daughter has taken the bus to Cal State Fullerton from Newport Beach, and it's an amazing, it's very quick and efficient. And she now has to be going to Chapman University in Orange, which is not nearly the distance. But we looked at the routing, and it's like takes 2 hours to get there. It's like not even feasible. So I didn't know who works on the routings or if there's some way to have some input into that. But those were my comments. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for the comments. And we can definitely bring back and give our transit staff an opportunity to look at the connections to Chapman. Chapman is really accessible off of rail if you can get on to Metrolink. In fact, our OCT offices are not far from there, and we have a number of employees that actually walk from the train station to the office that take the train in regularly. Thanks again for the comment on the toll road. So I think we've heard some similar comments to that tonight. So thank you.
Yep, appreciate it, Renee. Thanks so much. And I'm going to take a moment here to let everybody know that in addition to the feedback you're giving us in this live forum, there's also an online survey that you can take part in, and we would appreciate that feedback as well. You can get that survey at southocstudysurvey.com. Again, that's southocstudysurvey.com. And I'll be sure to read that again before the end. Other information you may be interested in, if you need to visit the OCTA website and learn more about this study, you can visit that at octa.net/SouthOCstudy. And if you need the helpline number, that's 833-711-8255. 8070. And if you need somebody to repeat any of that information for you, feel free to press 0 or 7, speak to one of our operators. They'll have that handy and they can repeat it at a better pace so you can write it down if I went too fast. So let's go ahead and get to our next question. This one's going to come to us from Dale. Looks like Dale's in Rancho Santa Margarita. Hey, Dale.
Hi,
you're live.
Evening.
Go ahead.
I live in Rancho Santa Margarita, and I've lived here 16 years. And during the time I've lived here, the bus, they're getting worse than, and they're not improving at all. Right now, we only have two routes. They both run once an hour, only Monday through Friday. They close about 6:30, 7 o'clock at night. So you're pretty much stuck here. Last week, I had an appointment in Santa Ana, and it took, according to my scheduling, it was going to take me under 2 hours each way to go for a 45-minute appointment. I mean, and they really are. They're getting worse. It used to be, when I first moved here, much better. And do you have any, is there any hope of them getting any better? I understand the routes aren't that popular. Could we, like, put a smaller bus on and run it quicker? I mean, it just doesn't seem, there's no incentive for me to ride the bus anymore. And when I have to, I'm pretty much stuck.
That's it. Thanks, Dale. You know, you're hitting on one of the kind of key challenges in providing kind of both traditional bus service. When you're in an area that doesn't have as much demand and we're trying to figure out how we spread our available transportation dollars for transit service. And so a lot of times those investments go to where the highest demand are. But then you know, what happens to the people that you leave stranded? And so that's part of the big reason why we're looking at, you know, how do you provide transit service maybe in a different way? And so that's why some of the shuttle service is one of the key things that we're looking at in this study. Also, there's need to look at potential partnerships with others. San Clemente's done some work with actually the private operator Lyft. That provides some additional transit service in San Clemente. That that might be an option, and so we're definitely looking at things like that. Like, you know, what are some innovative ways to still provide accessibility to everyone, even if they're not in the highest transit route areas. So, thank you.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it again, Warren. Thank you, Dale. Thanks for being a part of our forum. And we're going to go to Tony Capistrano Beach up next. Hey, Tony, thanks for waiting. You're live.
Hi. Actually, I think you tried to ask my other question earlier, but you didn't actually ask the question I asked. I was talking about the train infrastructure versus bus infrastructure. It seems like you put both transit modes together in your multimodal study, and they seem to be completely different. Obviously, the infrastructure costs are much higher with the train. With the buses, you're just talking about adding extra buses, not necessarily extra freeways or tracks or trains. So I'd really like to see you separate those. And when you combine them, I think you get confusing information because here in Dana Point, hardly anyone is on those trains. We have numbers with Metrolink that are less than 10% capacity. There's lots of room to add extra passengers without adding any infrastructure at all. But I don't know about the buses. Maybe the buses are actually quite full. So I don't understand why you combine those as one item. I understand they're both mass transit, but they're very different. And I really believe you'd get better information if you could separate them. That was my first question. Do you want the second one now or do you want to wait?
Sure, go ahead and give it to us now.
Okay, the second question is, and several people have brought up the issue of the toll roads. And the big issue from the point of view of taxpayers is that right now the two toll roads have about $5 billion in debt. That sounds like a huge amount of money until you compare it to what it's going to cost to retire that debt. Between now and 2053, when hopefully my great-grandkids will be able to drive on these roads free,
it's going to cost us another $11 billion. And by then, God knows what the actual price to, you know, the toll fee is going to be. So it seems so inefficient. We have these two roads that are almost empty, and yet we have everybody else driving on the five. It really makes sense for OCTA to consider maybe combining with TCA and retiring their debt. I think you'd get much better interest rates than what they have. They actually have interest accretion on their debts. I know I'm getting complicated on the finance side, but they actually can't pay their interest every year, and that's why the debt keeps going up. They keep adding it. So I really wish that OCTA would take a look at that. I know that a lot of your board, a lot of your OCTA board are also TCA board members. It seems ridiculous that we have two transportation agencies that do basically the same thing. And the big loser is, you know, the taxpayers. We're the ones who are paying for these roads through the cost of our housing and our developer impact fees. But at the same time, we don't get to ride the roads. And if we do, we have to pay $10 each way or more. So I really hope that you will take this seriously and consider it. It's a very important question.
Yeah, I'll start on the second one first. And I think you may have stated slightly differently, but I think you shared kind of similar concerns and thoughts about the toll roads. And you know, I hear you, you know, it's a thought that hasn't been heard before, and so we're definitely cognizant of those ideas. And then just the combination of both the of rail and transit in a single thing, it's really just for convenience sake. We're definitely planning them separately, and it's really for convenience to combine them. It's no disrespect to either of those, and we recognize that they're very different, but thanks for pointing that out and recognizing the very different costs and operational aspects of both of those services. And thanks again.
Appreciate it. Thank you. And thanks to Tony for participating tonight. We are going to get to Eileen next. We got just a few more minutes here left. So, Eileen, if you could be as brief as possible, welcome to the call from Costa Mesa. And go ahead with your question
okay.
or comment.
I will try. I am a participant in the Access Transportation, and I just wanted to know if there was any thought of extending the pickups to the weekends. Right now, I do get picked up at my home during the week, but on the weekends, I'm just out of luck because I don't have, I'm not on a fixed route bus line. So I have to somehow get myself to a central place in order, but it's sort of self-defeating because I can't walk that far.
Yeah. Thanks, Eileen. That's what we kind of call it in the business is first mile, last mile issues, and that's definitely something that we're looking at in this study is how to provide better connectivity so that people can use transit, and that goes both for all levels of mobility, you know, whether it's easy for you to walk or ride to transit, or if it's even more challenging. And so thanks for your comment.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you, Eileen, for being a part of our forum. And in that we just have a couple of moments left here, Warren, I'm going to summarize quite a few of the questions we've gotten here, and hopefully you can just speak to this before we get to the end. And for those of you who have additional questions or concerns that we don't have time to take, we'll give you an opportunity to leave a voicemail message in a moment here if you need your question answered offline or if you have any concerns that you need addressed. You'll be able to leave a voicemail message and get a call back from OCTA in coming days. But kind of the summary of a lot of our other questions in the queue, Warren, is are there any upcoming projects that will help with traffic congestion in South Orange County? Can you take that on for us?
Yeah, that's thank you. Let me give you a couple of examples. So for any of you who've been traveling on the I-5 around the El Toro Y and headed south, we'll recognize that there's a big construction project that's going on right now that will provide some travel benefits because it'll both extend the carpool lane a little bit further south as well as add new travel lanes between El Toro Road and the 73. And then OCTA and Caltrans have all already started the environmental phase for extending the carpool lanes in San Clemente from its current southernmost point at Avenida Pico, and that will extend all the way down to the San Diego County line. And then going further north along I-5, OCTA is planning to add a travel lane in each direction between State Route 55 and the 405. And then along the 405 itself, beyond the construction that I think one of the previous callers talked about north of the 55, OCTA is planning on adding new travel lanes between the 55 and I-5. So basically kind of filling in all of the gaps. So and then kind of beyond that, you know, I think as some of the callers indicated earlier that, you know, we're seeing bus service ramping back up and Metrolink service ramping back up from the conditions that they were during the pandemic. So we're seeing those services increase as well. So all of that should have a benefit on traffic congestion. Thank you.
Excellent. Great to hear. Thank you, Warren. And thank you for taking on all of these questions for us tonight. Really appreciate you. And folks, we are coming to the end of our forum. So if you did have an additional question or concern, feel free to hang on the line here. And when we wrap up the call, you'll automatically go to our voicemail system. You'll be able to leave a voicemail message with your name, your contact information, whatever your question, concern, or comment is, and we'll happily take those voicemails from you as well. But before we do wrap up here, Marissa, do you have any final words for our audience?
Yes, Ian, thank you. I'd just like to thank everyone for taking the time to join us tonight. Such great questions. Really appreciate your time. And just wanted to also let you know that your involvement with the South County study doesn't have to end here. You can leave a voicemail message, as Ian just said, and leave any additional questions, comments. And if you leave your name and email, we will certainly get back to you. Again, we also invite you to visit our website at octa.net/SouthOC study. You can learn more about the study, take our online survey, and visit our virtual meeting room to find out more information about the study. We also have a helpline if you prefer to leave a comment or take the survey on the phone. The helpline number is 833-711-8070. So on behalf of OCTA, I'd just like to thank you all once again for participating and for making this such a valuable conversation. Have a good evening, everybody. Thank you.